Okay, when Parshas Kisavai in the Stone Chumash in 1074, three lines from the end of the page. The last time we're learning about the curses that the brachas and the curses, Har Evel, Har Grizim, you know, they looked and the Levim were in the middle. Okay, now the pasuk says like this: Vayim Shemaya Tishma Bekel Hashem Alakecha. It will be if you will listen to the voice of Hashem. And the Mefarshim point out, normally when the Torah says Vahoya, it's an expression of Simcha. The Gemara says, Ein Vahoya ala Simcha. Vayehi, the Gemara says, is an expression of Tzar, of pain, problems. Vahoya, so it says, the Mefarshim explain what the Torah over here means is, you shouldn't do mitzvahs out of fear that you're going to get punished or beat up. You're supposed to do mitzvahs because you love Hashem and you want to do the mitzvahs, and only you're doing it, but b'kol Hashem alakecha. You want to do it to listen to the voice of Hashem. Lishma v'lasis, to guard and to keep. We'll explain all these things in a second. As kol mitzvahs of all the mitzvahs shanechim tzav chayim that I'm commanding you today, like we learned every day is new. Then unesancha Hashem alakecha elyein. Then God will put you above and beyond, or supreme. Al kol goyei haaretz, over all nations of the earth. So simply the pasuk is saying, if you listen to the mitzvahs Hashem gives you and you'll do them properly, then you'll be supreme to all nations of the world. Okay, that's basically what the pasuk is saying in a nutshell. Now the pasuk says lishmer lases. It says to guard and to keep. So the Mefarshim point out, what's the double expression, Lishmar v'lasis? Lishmar is to keep the negative commandments. Shamar means guard, meaning don't sin. Lasis is the positive mitzvahs. So the Torah is speaking about, you have to listen to all mitzvahs, the negative mitzvahs, the positive mitzvahs, both things together.
Means you everything you have to do, you have to listen and think
do
about
what
it. No, think about it, then do it.
Yeah.
So this is not the bad word of bad things or good things.
No, it says lishmer velasis.
So you have to listen. Listen is not bad.
Right.
So
no, it's not bad, but you're saying lishmer means to keep the negative commandments.
Not
shamar.
Everything, not everything. Negative. Not negative and positive, both.
Both. Lasis is the positive mitzvahs. Lishmer is to keep the negative mitzvahs. You have to keep both. You have to keep all the mitzvahs. Okay? Now, the Mefarshim explain, what's the double expression, Shemaya Tishma? It's a double expression. It's repeating itself. So they answer a few answers. For instance, it says like this. The Gemara says, whoever learns Torah will merit to hear the five voices. You know, we say in Sheva Brachas, Kol Sasein v'Kol Simcha, Kol Chasen v'Kol Kala, you know, all that. So it says...
Those five words, or it's different words?
No, you say Kol Sasin, Kol Simcha, Kol Chasin, Kol Kala, Kol Mitzalis, Chasan, Michupasim. There's five expressions of Chamisha Kailis, it's called.
Five sounds.
So it says, Im Shemaya, it says like this, if you listen to the voice of Torah, Tishma, Hashem says, you will merit these five Kol Sasin, Kol Simcha, okay, because you become elevated, you become great. Another thing it says, Im Shemaya, if you listen to mitzvahs, Hashem will listen to you. So now the double expression is going back and forth. If you listen to Hashem, Hashem will give it to you. Okay? So that's why the Torah says, Im Shemaya Tishma, the double expressions. Another interpretation is, Shemaya Tishma, what does it mean? That Baruch is general Baruch and detail Baruch. Oror, we learned last week, the general curses and the detail curses. So the same thing, when a person, Shemaya Tishma, you'll get double brachas. You get general brachas and detailed brachas. Okay, so then, when you listen to all the mitzvahs of the Torah, then Hashem will give you, or make you supreme over all nations of the world. Okay, now he says like this. The Gemara says that Rav Shimon ben Chalafta says that if a person learns and doesn't keep, he's worse than somebody who doesn't learn and doesn't keep. Because if you don't know, ignorance is bliss, yeah, like they say. So he says that a person, Shalishma Velasis is called mitzvesav, he says, you need to learn in order to keep the mitzvahs. Well, purpose of, and this is an interesting thing about Yiddishkeit, you know, like they say, learn it, live it, love it. You know, you need to have all these things. When a person learns Torah, and the Lahavdol, I'll give an example. If you want to learn French, yeah, the best way of learning French is to go to France, where they hate any other language but French. They will ignore you completely. Yeah? And you have no choice because you have to live French. You really just need, you want to learn a language. What they learn in the schools, even the teachers teaching you French, they're speaking the whole day in English. Every so often they say a French word. You want to learn French, you have to live French. What's unique about Yiddishkeit, you know, you can't learn about Shabbos and know what Shabbos is all about if you don't live it. You know, so it's important. The Torah says, Shemaya Tishma, it's not Lishma Velasis Ulakayim, I mean, Lishma Velasis, it's not only enough to learn, Shemaya Tishma. You need to actually live it, because then it becomes part of you. That's the real education of Yiddishkeit, is when you actually live it. Okay? What?
Rabbi, if somebody is staying in Yeshua for all time of life,
right,
he's doing good or bad.
You mean doesn't get married, doesn't do nothing?
No, just the Torah, reading the Torah all night, 24 hours.
Depends who you ask. If you ask the Litvishal people, they'll tell you great. But that's not what Hashem wants. Hashem wants a person should get married and make a living, and that's what he wants. That's what Hashem wants.
So you should be learning with that. No, I say doing something.
Right, doing
not
also.
Doing is not nothing.
Right, right.
I think it's interesting that we said
Yeah, we'll do and then we'll learn. But another thing the Mefarshim explain, when it says Lishma Lassis as kol mitzvesov, that includes the rabbinic mitzvahs too. That includes the rabbinic mitzvahs also. It's not only enough to keep the biblical mitzvahs, you have to keep the rabbinic mitzvahs also. Okay? And meaning like this. Another ultimate bracha that he's mefarshim himself over here is to listen to Hashem, meaning don't become egotistic from what Hashem gives you or from thinking that you're great. You have to do it because b'kol Hashem al-kachad, this is what Hashem wants. That's why you're doing it, not for any reward. In fact, we're going to soon see, the Mefarshim explain, that all the brachas that are coming here, the Rambam says, is not reward for Torah mitzvahs. Because the Rambam says, how could physical reward be enough for the reward of Torah mitzvahs? Torah mitzvahs is godly. So you're going to get physical rewards for godly things. It doesn't make sense. So the Rambam, by the way, in Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam holds that all these brachas that the Torah gives are not reward for the mitzvah. Reward for the mitzvah for learning Torah and doing mitzvahs is much greater. According to the Rambam, it's Gan Eden. That's the reward for Torah mitzvahs. So why does Hashem say, if you listen to the mitzvahs, I'll give you all these brachas? The Rambam says like this. When Hashem sees you trying to do mitzvahs, to learn and do mitzvahs, Hashem said, I'm going to make your life easier to be able to do it. I'm going to make you wealthy and healthy and wise, not as a reward for the mitzvah. You're getting it because if you don't have to worry about money, you can learn easier, you can learn better. If you don't have to worry about money, you can do mitzvahs better. So the Mefarshim, the Rambam says that clearly, that all the brachas that the Mechukai say Teleichu, you know, you go on the ways of Torah mitzvah, what he's saying over here, the brachas are not the reward for the mitzvah. They're there to make it easier for you to continue doing mitzvahs, but not as a reward. And that's what he says. In fact, they bring down, okay, let's first see the pasuk. All these brachas will come to you, v'sigucha, and they will overtake you. And like the Sephorna says, what does it mean? Even if you don't make an effort for it, the brachas are going to chase you anyway. even if you didn't expect him, you didn't make a vessel for it, the brachas are going to, like he says, even if you make no effort to obtain them, the Sephorna says, even when logic in dictates that you won't have it. He brings down the Ma'am Leizer's story. There's a very sincere man, very pure, simple man. His wife heard that at that day, the fishermen caught an abundance of fish, and they were selling it very, very cheap. So the wife said to the husband, go buy some fish. Okay, he didn't want to go, and his wife nudged him, he went. By the time he got there, all the fish were sold. The only one fish that looked strange, nobody wanted to buy it. So the seller said, you know what, I'll sell it to you
half price.
The guy says, I don't want it because if my wife sees this fish, she's going to get angry at me. Okay? Anyway, bottom line is, the guy sold him for a quarter of the price. So he had this lousy fish for a quarter of the price. He said like this, if I go home with this fish, she's going to scream at me. He said, you know what? I'm going to go to a different place. I'll clean the fish. He opened it up. He found an expensive gem. This is not Yosef Merker Shabbos story. Another story. He found an expensive Margolius, expensive pearl or dime, whatever. He went to the people that sell diamonds, and the guy says, where in the world did you get such a precious stone? So he told him. He told him the story. And he said, you know something? The same story happened, the merchant says, the same story happened with my father. And he said, my father was very, very sick, and the doctor healed him, and the doctor told him, if you want to be healthy, you have to go outside the city, near the river, where it's clean air, and you should stay there. Okay? So he says, the rich people used to go there here in Siva when it was hot, and they used to pay money. So he says like this, you go there first, okay, and you put up your tent in Nissen, before everybody else gets there. He didn't want to do it, the doctor made him do it. He said he changed places. Anyway, the last time he opened up a hole where the tent was pitched, and he saw a box full of Avonim, Tovis, and Margolius, full of diamonds. And the merchant said, you see what I'm wealthy now? It's because I got this from my father. Okay, so he says he didn't work on it, he didn't do it. He was a simple Jew, did what Hashem wanted, Hashem rewarded him. He didn't even expect it, anticipate it, nothing. So Me'amalev brings this down about this pasuk. All the brachas are going to come, even if you don't want them, you don't expect them, they're going to come after you. Okay? Now, so normally the Mefarshim also explain like this. Normally when a person does mitzvahs, so then he doesn't do work too much. He's so busy davening and learning and doing mitzvahs.
Yeah, but when you started learning and davening and getting, you know, whatever, and then the smallest mistake you make, Hashem gets you because he doesn't expect from you to get that mistake. And then he punishes you, no?
No.
You think he's punished.
Don't make him a bad guy. He's not a bad guy.
No.
Hashem's a good guy. Not true. Hashem likes to give brachas. But the fact is, the greater the person, you have to be more careful with what you do in your behavior, that's all. The greater the person, the greater responsibility of behaving properly. Okay. Another thing it says over here, it says, Kisishma, you'll listen, the brachas will come. Okay, Kisishma, when you will listen, Bekol Hashem Alekecha. When you listen to Hashem, you're going to get all these brachas. The question is, I don't know the answer to this question, but you find so many people that are so good, and they don't get all these physical brachas.
Yeah, a lot.
But we don't know. We don't know God's cheshbon and God's reckoning, how things work. Things could work, what we think is good and it's not good. Things could be not good and is good. But Hashem says it's going to be good.
Moshe will be able to find out the answer. Hashem showed the back of his filling, you know, that whole story about when he went to Har Sinai.
Yeah, the whole story. But the bottom line is, David HaMelech asked the question that wasn't answered, and Moshe Rabbeinu asked the question that wasn't answered, and everybody asked the question that's still not answered.
Right.
Okay. So he says like this. And there is an interesting thing, the way the Mefarshim explained the next few psukim. Baruch Ata Be'ir simply means, blessed you'll be in the city, U'baruch Ata Basada, you'll be blessed in the field. So simply, what does it mean, Baruch Ata Be'ir, Baruch Ata Basada? You'll be blessed what you do in the city. But the Gemara says no. I mean, the Mefarshim explain. If you do mitzvahs that are connected to the city, like davening, learning, you know, those different things, then that's be'ir, you'll be blessed in the city. Baruch Ata Basada refers to all the field mitzvahs. Truma, Meiser, Bikurim, Peah, you know, all the things that you have to leave in the city. What? In the field, in the city. Like he says, you separate Chala, Tzitzis, Sukkah, Ner Shabbos, then you'll be blessed in the city things. Baruch Ata Basada, and the reward of the mitzvah that you do, Lekir Shechem Peah. Okay? Meaning, whether you're in the city, and here he says another interesting thing. It's not enough to serve God in private. Many people, they'll be religious in private, but in the street, they don't want to look religious. They're afraid of what people might think of them. So the Torah Pasuk says, Baruch Ata Ba'ir, in the city, which is public, Befer Hesya, the Mefarshim explain, don't do mitzvahs of Hashem only in hiding. Be proud of being a Jew and do it, Befer Hesya, show that you're a Jew and you're proud of it.
Doesn't the reverse hold true too? I mean, some people are Jews in public, but then they're private.
Yeah, that's what it says in Pirkei Avos. But Mokum Sheinish, Hishtadoli Asish. Simply means if there's nobody around to take charge, take charge. Okay? But the deeper meaning, the commentators say, but makom she'enish, even when nobody's looking at you, tishtado be a mensch. Just because nobody's looking doesn't mean you could do whatever you want to do. You need to do everything.
I think the second one's even harder. Because it's like when you're public, you know, you're afraid of everybody's thinking. Yeah, I mean,
that's true, but nevertheless, you find people that are afraid to dress like a Jew in public, and I mean, you know,
wearing yarmulke, lots of
people.
So I'm saying that, but that's the pride of the Jew. But the truth is, that's why it says be'ir and basada. You need to be observant in the field and in the city. Okay. Another interesting thing it says, Chazal say, what does it mean? Baruch Ata Ba'ir. Your house should be near the shul, that you don't have to walk too far and waste time. That's what they say. She'abeischa samach lebeisa knesses. It should be close to the shul, that you shouldn't have to, where is this from? Bamitzia. The Gemara says in Bamitzia, you should live close to the shul. But, one second. So the Gemara says, and this contradicts Rabbi Yechanan's opinion. Rabbi Yechanan, the Gemara tells a story, Rabbi Yechanan, a girl came to his shul to daven. So he says to her, where do you come from? She said, I'm coming from a different neighborhood. She said, aren't there any shuls in your neighborhood? Why are you coming here? He said, Rabbi, isn't there the schar of walking? Walking to shul, the son? So Rabbi Yechanan agreed with, he said she was right. So Gemara says they differ with Rabbi Yechanan that he learns a different pasuk. And he says, no, so he says that Baruch Ata Basadcha, Baruch Ata Basada, your house should be close to the city, that going to your business, you shouldn't waste time. So that's how he learns it. Okay, then the Pasuk says like this. By the way, the Gemara says, Amar Ablevi is a famous Gemara. And it's all brought down about these psukim. Whoever has a shul in his neighbor in the city and doesn't go in there, is called an evil neighbor. Shochin Ra. and he causes gullus to him and his children. He says, because like this, a Jew needs two homes. Not literally. A Jew needs two homes. One for his body, and one for his neshama. So the body, that's your house, apartment, whatever. And the house for your neshama, that's a beis knesses, beis hamedrash, that's what Yiddishkeit does. And then you need to have both of them.
And if you, what did you say, if you don't go, what's going to happen?
You're called an evil neighbor.
Question. That doesn't mean
you
should already show in your neighborhood.
No. No. Do you know that the Gemara says, it's Gemara in a few places, that you're not allowed to walk outside of a shul when the minion's davening. Why? Because people think, look at this, the minion's davening, and he's not going to shul. So Gemara said, but if there's two shuls, or more shuls, then it doesn't matter, because people won't think you're not going to shul. People think, okay, you're going to a different shul. Instead, but if there's only one shul, and you walk outside the shul when the minion's davening, you're not allowed to, because people will think, oh, look at it, you're not going to shul. What?
You asked this, it says, you know, you have your parents and your rebbe. So your parents bring you to this world, your rebbe is a lot of this has something about a shul and a house, like your house is for this world and your shul.
Well, that's what we're saying here. That's the double thing. The two houses, one for the goof, one for the neshama.
Yeah.
Then they bring another interesting story over here also. There was a Kohen that he lived in Israel and he wasn't making a living. So he wanted to go out to his, outside of Eretz Yisrael. So his wife said to him, he says to his wife, okay, you know what, I'm going to Chutz Lars, maybe I'll make more money, okay, but I have nothing to leave you when I leave. I have nothing to leave you. So he says like this, since I'm a Kohen, the guy says to his wife, I'm leaving, I have nothing, no money to leave you, but let me leave you with a Dvar Torah. Because he was a Kohen, he was an expert in the laws of plagues, of Negoim. So he said, the difference between Nega to one Nega, you know, different types of Negoim. And he said, like this, he says to his wife, every hair has a, there's an English word for it, the hole in the head that the hair, what?
Follicle.
That the hair comes out from. And that's what it nourishes the hair from, the follicle in the head. And if the Negoim would, the eyes of a person would go blind. So his wife said to him, okay, in other words, what the guy said to his wife, that Hashem makes sure that every follicle, the hair grows from each follicle, not from a different one. And every, you know, Hashem is very, takes care of every single hair where it comes from, where it nourishes itself. So his wife said to him, you fool. Why don't you hear what you're saying? If each hair on the head, Hashem gives parnasa, that the hair grows from the follicle properly, he says, koshkein, that you'll get, you'll definitely, Hashem can take care of you. And he stayed and he had a wonderful parnasa. Smart wife.
It's like what Chef
said told to Avraham Avinu, listen to your wife, listen to Sarah. Yeah. In fact, they bring down another thing. Shlomo Melech wanted to know how Hashem gives parnasa to everybody. He wanted to know the secret of parnasa. And he said, maybe God forgets about certain creatures to give him parnasa. Okay? So when he was cutting avonim, stones for the Beis HaMikdash, he found in a rock a little worm. And there was a little piece of greenery, grass, next to the worm that the worm was eating to sustain itself. So Hashem said to Shlomo HaMelech, look, this tiny little worm in this rock I took care of. What do you think? I forget about things in Parnassah? You know what I mean? It says in the, we say in davening, noisin levehim alachma. God gives every animal, every creature Hashem takes care of. Okay, but now there's an interesting thing. The pasuk says, okay, let's see the pasukim now. Baruch privit, so he's blessing you in the city and in the field. Baruch privit necha of friad masecha, the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your ground. Okay? That means the children, everything, everything together. Shkara lefecha v'ashtrei senecha. Shkara lefecha, the offspring of your cattle. And ashtrei senecha is the flocks of your sheep. Baruch tanacha mishatecha, blessed will be your fruit baskets, and mishatecha, your kneading bowl. You know, you need the dough, meaning there'll be a bracha in the dough. And then he concludes this concept, Baruch ata beveyecha, blessed are you when you come into to the world, or Baruch ata betzisecha, you should be blessed when you leave the world. Okay, this is the simple meaning of it.
Isn't all of those in Beit Lecha for Saturday night?
Uh-huh. Yeah, we say that on Saturday night. Because we want to start the week with a bunch of brachas. These are all things that we say because we want to start the week with an abundance of brachas. But now he says like this. The condition of bracha, in fact, you know, there's a very interesting din. If you live in a courtyard, you have to make a fence that people shouldn't be able to look into your courtyard. Why? Because the Gemara says there's something called hezekriya. Your eyes can damage somebody else's field. What's called basically ayin hara. To simplify, it's a whole question of halacha in the Gemara Bava Basra. But simply, to explain it simply, it's the concept of ayin hara. The Gemara says a bracha can only rest on something which is hidden from the eye. Eina bracha sheira, ela bedover al samui mino ay. Samui mino ay means hidden from the eyes. It says in the psukim, why do fish multiply so much?
Nobody can see.
No, because they're hidden. They're hidden in the ocean, you know, people don't see them. So when you see it, it causes ayin hara. Basically, ayin hara, people say, so. Hashem says all these kelim for the bracha, yeah, needs to be davar samim min ayin. Now, what does it mean? Baruch ata beveyacha, baruch ata betzeisecha. Okay, there's more things over here also. Baruch Rashi says, what do you mean? Baruch pi pasigay baruch tan acha umishatecha. Simply, it means your fruit baskets and your kneading bowl. So Rashi says, Tanacha means dover lach, liquid goods, you'll be blessed. And mishatecha is dry goods. You'll be blessed in everything. What does it mean? Baruch ata beveyacha, baruch ata betzeisecha. So Rashi says that leaving the world, you should leave without sin, like you came into the world. That's like when a person comes into the world, they come in clean. Rashi says, from the Gemara, you should leave the world without sin, just like you come into the world without sin.
It's not possible.
Huh?
It's not possible.
Why is it not?
It makes sense.
Shuva, last minute Shuva.
We do, that's why we do tshuva. We do tshuva and then we have a clean slate. Okay, now there's a famous Yerushalmi that the Gemara tells a story. Here it says Artaban, who was the king of Persia. Some people say it was Antoninus. That this person was very close to Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, and he sent Rabbi Yehuda.
Say it again.
Artaban.
Artaban.
That's his version. In the Gemara's version, it's Artaban.
Artaban.
Ah, then he spelled it.
Artaban. No.
I know the story they always tell about Antoninus. Anyway, the bottom. One second.
Is this the Antoninus Rebbe?
Yeah. But here it says it was Artaban, whatever. So he sent Rebbe a present, a very precious stone. A very expensive stone. So, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, so the guy says to Rebbe, send me something as precious as the stone I sent you. So Rebbe sent him a mezuzah. So he says, Arbatan said to Rebbe, I sent you something that's very valuable. What are you sending me that you can buy for a few bucks? I mean, what are you giving me over here? So Rebbe said, what I sent you and what you sent me have no connection. Not only that, he said like this. You sent me something I need to guard and insure. I sent you something that it guards you and insures you. And he said, because he said, and then he said to him also that normally by a palace of a king, he says, you're a king, you have guards standing outside protecting the king. By a Jew, God is in the mezuzah, Shema Yisrael, and he is the king protecting the servants. This mama, she explained to him this whole thing. Okay, now, he was very wealthy, but he had not apikoidus. So Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi explained to him, and that's what Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi explained to him, what was the ultimate purpose of wealth. And he explained to him the ultimate purpose of wealth, and this is what all these brachas are coming, brachat v'veyach, brachat, all these brachas. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi is explaining to him, all the brachas of wealth and all that is only if you know what to do with it. If you know what to do with it, then it's a bracha. I mentioned in the past, that everyone spoke after Howard Hughes died. Howard Hughes was, at no time, a super wealthy guy. But the end of his life, everybody knows, he went bananas, because he was afraid people were going to kill him, and he didn't let anybody cut his hair, he didn't let anybody cut his nails, he didn't see anybody, he was afraid everybody was going to kill him. He went meshuggah a little bit. For money. Money makes you meshuggah. So, and the Rebbe explained, he had all the money in the world, but he didn't live. That's not, well, he didn't live a life. He says, what's the purpose? Huh? Howard Hughes? It was like Bill Gates today. No, I mean, it was like...
make a foundation.
Huh?
Put it for African people, put it, spend it for something.
What happened?
There's like Ray Goose land in Marina.
Yeah?
It's called the Spruce Goose, not the Grey Goose.
Grey Goose is vodka. I know what you're thinking.
You're always looking this up.
No, but I'm saying, so the king, his life was physical. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi answered him, very nice, but that's not what life's all about. Life is all about the spiritual, to know what to do with the, what to do with the money. And then, you know, that was the... what?
Good question. You know, this week's Parsha Tolo, it says, Shtei Goyim
Bevitah. Right.
So Rashi says, it's really Rit
Geyim.
The two Yuds.
Right.
So it's referred to Rebbe and Antoninus.
Right.
But why is it two Yuds?
Okay, we're not learning Chumash now. Let's get, we're learning Chumash, but not wrong Parsha. Okay, but it has to be in a way that it's a bracha coming into the world, a bracha leaving the world. You shouldn't leave the world in a worse fashion than you came into the world. Yeah. And this even, the Gemara says, is even really a halacha. When somebody gives you something to watch, you have to give it back at least in the same condition you got it in.
Yeah.
If you ruin it, then you have to pay for it. Hashem says, okay, you're born, I'm lending you yourself, I'm giving you something to watch for me, Hashem says, for 120 years. All I'm asking is, give it back in the same condition that you got it in.
We didn't sign it.
You didn't sign the lease.
Before, we didn't sign it.
Nobody asked your opinion.
Yeah, no, didn't
nobody asked.
We didn't sign
Balkar
it.
Hatachai. No, but this is exactly what it's all about. Okay. So this is what, then the Pasuk says like this. When you listen to Torah Mitzvahs, it says, Yitin Hashem Hashem Asivecha Kamim Alecha. All these nations, they get up for you. Yeah. Nigafim lefanecha will be struck down before you. Bederech echad yetzu elecha. In one way, they will come to you. Uveshiva drachim yenusu lefanecha. They're going to run away in seven directions. Means simply like this. When they come to you for war, they're going to come to you in one direction. And when you win them, they're going to run away in seven directions. So the Mephoshim ask, what's better running... You're running away one direction, seven directions. What's the...
Why seven?
Yeah, like, no, why is seven better than one? They're running away from you. What's the difference? Explain, no, very interesting psychological thing. If the guy run away altogether in one direction, they could reband. They could reband and say, hey, 1 minute, let's go back and try again. When they're running in seven directions, they're tumult, they're messed up and they're mixed up and... So then they'll never revent. And that's what the Pasuk says, they'll come to you united in one direction to fight you. And you'll be so powerful that they're going to run away in such a way that they won't even realize that they won't even be able to get back together at all.
Exactly happened right now.
Yep.
Exactly. The situation, the context, exactly like
seven?
That.
Why not like 8, why 10? Why,
is it a reason why it's like
7 is the number of all days of the week. It's 7 midays. I mean, there's a lot of, you have 4 directions up and down. But this is, by the way, only when you're keeping Torah mitzvahs, like we learned. Dim Shemaya Tishma. Yitzav Hashem itcho es habracha. Hashem will give you the bracha. Basamecha. In your storehouses. But the Gemara also says, Suma comes with hidden. And here's the allusion, alluding to what the Torah says, if you want to get a bracha from Hashem, it has to be hidden. Basamecha. When you're hidden, you don't, whatever. V'chol mishlach yadecha, and anything that you do, in other words, simply means, like we said, storehouses, but it means anything you do, Hashem will bless you, in the land that Hashem is giving you. Okay? Meaning, there will be prosperity in Eretz Yisrael to such an extent, the Jews won't have to go to other countries to do business. That's what the Pasuk is saying. It's going to be such a bracha that you won't have to go to other countries. You'll have a bracha where you are, you don't have to do anything. But the main thing is, like we said before, the only bracha is basamecha when it's hidden, when there's no ayin hara, and there's no other people trying to get you or whatever.
Is it also a summa of a blind person?
Yeah, because it's hidden. It's all the same root.
There's no ayin hara, it's interesting, a blind person.
Well, a blind person can give an ayin hara.
Yeah, that's true, so I just found that interesting.
No, but basamecha, Rashi says simply means storehouses.
Yeah.
But it also means, like we said, Dover Asomim in Ayin means something. Yikim Hashem Leilam Kodesh, Hashem will confirm you, establish you as a holy nation. Kashenish Baloch, like he swore to you that you will be. When? Kisishma es mitzvahs Hashem alakecha, when you keep the mitzvahs, valachta bidrachov. And here again, what's the double expression? Doing mitzvahs, and then valachta bidrachov. Right? What does that mean again? If you keep in the mitzvahs, why is the Torah adding v'alachta bidrachav? So the explanation is, like it says, b'chol drachecha da'ehu, in all your ways know Hashem. There's two things the Pasuk is saying. It's not enough just to listen to Hashem when you do mitzvahs. It's b'chol drachecha. Like it says, v'alachta bidrachav, and the Gemara says, how can you go in the ways of Hashem? How can you go in the ways of Hashem? So Gemara says, Hashem visits the sick, you visit the sick. Hashem comforts the mourners, you comfort the mourners. Which means, even though, interestingly, you know, all these things are not mitzvahs. I mean, they're mitzvahs, interesting. It doesn't say anywhere in the Torah is a mitzvah visiting the sick. Bikur Chum, look in Chumash. There's nowhere in Chumash where it says Bikur Chaylim. Or Nichum Aveilim. Or any of these to dress the poor, to give. It doesn't say anywhere.
Is Avraham Avinu?
The we learn it out from Avraham. But the Rambam says, by the way, that these are part of the mitzvah of Ahavta Recha Kamecha. In other words, they're not direct mitzvahs themselves.
They come from these ones.
It's included in the mitzvah of Ahavta Recha Kamecha. Just like if you would be sick, you want somebody to visit you. You want, okay, so it's included, but it's not a, Valachta Bedrachav means, it's a unique thing. Even in those things which are not commanded directly from Hashem. Which include, by the way, you do business, you're serving Hashem. You're eating, you're serving Hashem. Valachta Bedrachav is an addition to mitzvahs. Not only, as it says in the Pasuk, Kisishma is mitzvahs Hashem Elokecha. Why isn't that enough? The Pasuk says no. Valachta Bedrachav. You have to emulate, you have to imitate, you have to copy Hashem, and do things the way Hashem does it. Okay, then it says like this. This is a very interesting pasuk. V'ro kol ami ha'aretz, all the nations of the world, will see, ki shem Hashem nikra alecha, that the name of God is called upon you, v'yaru mimeko, and they'll be afraid of you. Okay, simply pasuk says, all the nations of the world will